Well, if you'll pardon my saying so, I guess it is interesting the many ways you and I overlap and whatnot. I mean, you begin with our daddies. Your daddy was a pastor of the New Hope Baptist Church, and my daddy was a pastor of the church in Excelsior Springs. You're the youngest of three James boys, and I'm the youngest of five Ford boys. Between Charlie and me is another brother, Wilbur here, with six letters in his name. And between Frank and you is another brother, Robert, also with six letters. And my Christian name is Robert, of course. You have blue eyes, I have blue eyes. You're 5 feet 8 inches tall, I'm 5 feet 8 inches tall.
Hey, something.
What's up, everybody? Or really, just one person in particular, but we'll get to that. You are listening to the Third Act Podcast, a very special bonus episode. I am your host. My name is Christian Esterbrook, and I'm joined, as always, by Jericho Serona.
Fuck you, make me a martini, you fucking fat bastard.
And Armando Rivera. So you may be able to tell already, this is not a conventional episode of the Third Act Podcast. We're doing something very different tonight, very different from what we normally do, except for we will be talking about films tonight in some form or another and having a good time. But other than that, this is very different from what we normally do. This episode is in honor of, in dedication to, I keep wanting to say in memoriam, but that's not right. This is a shrine to the man, Casey Affleck. Why, you may ask, which is a completely fair and honest question you may be asking yourself. Simple reason, the day this episode releases is my wife Katie's birthday, and she's a big Casey Affleck fan. She loves a lot of people. Actually, she loves a select number of people very passionately. I believe I'm one of those select few, and I know that Casey Affleck is one of those select few. So this episode is a podcast episode disguised as an elaborate hoax of a birthday present, or it's a birthday present that is an elaborate hoax or something along those lines. But yeah, so if you're looking for a normal episode, this is definitely not it. If your name's not Katie Esterbrook, you may not enjoy this episode, but I invite you to stick around. And I really do have Jericho and Armando here. My podcast partners are joining me today. So thank you for going on this journey with me. And thank you for also giving my wife a birthday present by being on this episode. I think it's the first birthday gift you give my wife. So thank you very much.
You're welcome, Christian. And you're welcome, Katie. This episode is somewhat of, as you said, an elaborate hoax. Very similar to the elaborate hoax Casey Affleck engineered along with Joaquin Phoenix in the film I'm Still Here.
You mean I'm Not There?
That's the Bob Dylan one.
Bob Dylan or Joaquin Phoenix? That's a question we'll have to answer. Yes, but we're going to get into Joaquin. We're going to get into Casey's directorial efforts. We're going to get into all of that. Really, we're going to cover Casey's entire life. We're going to give you some background information. We're going to go through his entire filmography, share thoughts, opinions, factoids. I got some hot, juicy Casey Affleck factoids for you, which I'm sure...
Who he's dating, yeah. Who he's dating, who he has dated.
Right, which maybe a little bit too much for my wife to handle listening to, all the love life stuff, but we'll see how far we can push that envelope.
Do we have a question, Christian? Do we have a fan mail segment where you on air out loud read fan mail that Katie wrote to Casey Affleck and maybe never sent him?
Those are all locked away from me. I've never read any of those. They absolutely exist, but I haven't seen any of them.
Okay. So they're in the vault.
Yeah. Even marriages, you know, have privacies, have secrets, and my wife's fan mail to Casey remains out of my grasp.
heart-shaped box, basically.
Right, exactly. Maybe she'll forward one of those to the thirdactpodcast@gmail.com. We can get one of those on the show. Maybe not, though. I wouldn't hold my breath. So we're going to get into it. I'm going to give you some basically some biographical information. This is going to be like a not a biopic, maybe a biopod. We're going to go birth to present day and just give you an overview of all things Casey.
What'd you say? What do you call this motherfucker? Is that working for a living? Huh? Is it working for a living when I carried my best friend's legs under this arm and the rest of him under this arm? I saw a fucking baby with his fucking head cut off. I saw a fucking pile of feet in the middle of the street. They didn't have to clean it up. I gave my fucking life for this country. That's not work. But what's it done for me? Huh? What's it fucking done for me?
Now, before we get started, gentlemen, is there any thoughts that come to mind? It's okay if there's none, but when you think Casey Affleck and we're starting this episode, do you have any opening thoughts? Do you have a preamble for us in any way?
I mean, what themes am I thinking of when I think of Casey Affleck? What?
Yeah, I mean, when you think Casey, what comes to mind?
I think little brother. I think sibling rivalry.
Hmm.
Young upstart, even though he's probably in his 40s now. I don't know. Can we confirm that?
Yeah, he is 41 years of age as of last month.
Okay.
So not a young upstart.
You're
so, unless you're Clint Eastwood or something, he might be a young upstart compared to Clint Eastwood.
Those are my initial thoughts. To be honest, I don't think I've given that much thought to Casey Affleck. But that's why this is so cool, because I think we're gonna go pretty deep into this, or fairly deep. So I don't know. I guess just the brother thing.
I think you're hitting on something here, which is the word enigma. I feel like Casey Affleck is a bit of an enigma. He's a bit obscure in the sense of Hollywood actors, stars. He's been in a few films where he essentially has the lead. But mostly he's been kind of a character actor. But when I think of him beyond enigma, I think skeevy charisma is something that comes to mind. He's got this skeevy kind of slightly off, slightly sinister charisma to him. There's something not right with him in most of the films I've seen him in.
Boy,
and yet he still kind of commands the screen. He still has a certain charm, if that's the right word. Especially when he's bashing in Jessica Alba's face in the film The Killer Inside Me.
And I think he looks, while there is a family resemblance, I think they look differently enough where he kind of has his own area. You know, he's not a Baldwin brother. You know, he's not Frank Stallone here. He's a talent in his own right. And I think, you know, we'll get into this, but being the lesser-known Affleck has kind of allowed him to do some more interesting projects. Not that Ben Affleck's not done anything interesting, but, you know, he's kind of done some more independent fare, which we'll touch on. But, I can see the street-tough hustler kind of charisma that he has that is not necessarily of Ben Affleck's variety, who's kind of the more conventional leading man. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think the unconventional, perhaps some uniqueness, I think those are definitely things that come up when thinking Casey Affleck. And we've already brought up Joaquin Phoenix, and we'll get to him in the kind of biography section here in a moment. But I think that's an interesting comparison because, like Joaquin, I think they both have kind of unique looks and also unique voices in particular. Casey Affleck has like a very specific delivery. I think you could pick up like literally almost every line like Joaquin Phoenix. If you heard a line that Casey Affleck delivered, I think you'd be able to place him pretty instantly. I think it's something that you'll know. And I'm talking about you guys specifically. A lot of people out there don't really know Casey Affleck, and I know this is a pain point for my wife, because when she talks about Casey Affleck as her favorite actor, and that's even hard for her to say, because the other half of her heart is dedicated to Ethan Hawke, which was actually a debate for this episode. Do we go the Hawke or do we go Casey? It's a two-way tie there, I think, at the top. But she says, favorite actor, biggest celebrity crush, Casey Affleck. And people are like, who? What has he been in? Who is that guy? I don't know him. But for you guys, I think being at least somewhat familiar, you can place him in his work pretty quickly. And one other thing, just to start off, where Armando kicked it off, I think Casey's definitely seen as the other Affleck, for sure, for a long time now. But the question that I'm going to pose, and we can revisit this at the end of this, is that still fair? Is it still fair to call him the other Affleck, or in some ways has he become the Affleck? That's a question that I want us to ponder and revisit at the end of this episode.
Okay. Yeah. Another thing too with the, we'll come back to the Joaquin Phoenix thing, because there's some more stuff there that connects, if you will. So we're gonna touch on I'm Still Here at some point.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
We're going over the whole. Okay.
We're going through everything.
Okay. I'll save it.
So let's get into some biography here. So Casey Affleck, his birth name is actually Caleb Casey McGuire Affleck, born August 12th, 1975. As I said previously, he's 41 years of age. He was born and grew up in the town of Falmouth, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Massachusetts, which is actually very close to Manchester-by-the-Sea, which is the actual name of the city of the same name of the movie, his most recent movie called Manchester by the Sea. It's, I think, less than an hour, maybe an hour and a half drive from where he grew up. So that latest film that he did, he's very familiar with that area. So that's where he grew up. As we've already said, younger brother to Ben Affleck. He's 3 years younger. He had quite a lot of different things before pursuing acting. He did study acting in Boston, but he also had a lot of different stunted careers. He was an auto mechanic. He was a carpenter. He was an electrician. He was a bartender. He was a janitor at Harvard University, which we'll come back around in our conversation, of course, here shortly. In school, he went to Columbia. He did not graduate, but he majored in physics, astronomy, and Western philosophy, but didn't graduate after he started getting some acting gigs at a young age in the 90s. I guess the other main biographical point is he married Summer Phoenix in the year 2006. So then he became brother-in-law to Joaquin Phoenix. And they had some crossover, most specifically I'm Still Here, which we will definitely get into once we get through his films. So that's kind of some of the background, just the biography type stuff. Armando, do you have anything else you want to chime in on here before we start getting into the films?
No, let's get into it.
All right. So early going, some of these, we'll go through a little bit quicker. He's got, quite a few acting credits, started out on TV, a few different episodes, miniseries, things like that. I think the first notable thing that he did was he was in the Gus Van Sant film To Die For, playing a character called Russell Hines. I don't have strong memories of To Die For. Do you guys remember the Nicole Kidman film To Die For? And if you do, do you remember a young Casey Affleck all the way back in 1995?
Well, actually, I rewatched this film probably about 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I do remember seeing him. I mean, I had seen it before, but didn't even remember him showing up in it. But like Armando said, some Joaquin crossover here, because Joaquin Phoenix is in that film. He has a pretty big role. It's Gus Van Sant. It's a good little movie. I enjoy it quite a bit. Kind of satirical, but I don't know if Affleck doesn't really. I would say he doesn't make much of an impact here. Sorry, Katie, but this is still the beginning. He still has to to kind of spread his wings.
What year is that? Is
95.
Oh, okay. 95, yeah. Not a main part, but I think it was kind of the first thing where, you know, it wasn't like a, you know, a bit part. He had lines. There was a kind of a character there, but not one of the leads for sure. And we actually have to go a little ways before we get into anything even approaching a leading performance. But let's keep going. He was in a couple of random things. Race the Sun, which I believe was a big box office dud. He had a very small part in Chasing Amy. He's credited as Little Kid. So, you know, here he's, you know, he's following with Joaquin. He's following with Ben. So he's kind of getting some familial based work, it seems. And that continues to 1997 because he works with Ben and with Matt Damon, another one of his childhood friends, on Good Will Hunting. I also don't remember Casey in Good Will Hunting. Do you guys
before we get into that, so
okay,
I just had so Little Kid in Chasing Amy.
Yeah.
So he's 41, right?
He's only four years younger than Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck. Okay, so Ben Affleck's 44.
Right. So
in that movie,
he was 22, I think, in 97. So I don't remember him in Chasing Amy at all.
I'm trying to do the math. Okay.
He was 18, 19, or playing a 6-year-old or something. He has a very boyish look, though. He could pass.
He does, but what's the joke there? I got to see the footage, which I don't remember.
I don't remember that movie.
Anyhow, yeah. We can get back to Good Will Hunting. That was just that just kind of stuck out to me there. But
I have the vaguest memories of Chasing Amy. I think it was... I don't know. I mean, I think revisiting it might be problematic. Wasn't it about Ben Affleck trying to woo a lesbian and, like, convince her to date him?
Yeah. Some of it might be a little problematic. I still think it's a good movie. I saw it, rewatched it, I think, maybe a year ago. So
interesting.
The rare excellent Ben Affleck performance in Chasing Amy. I think he's really good in that one.
Interesting. All right, let's get back to Good Will Hunting. That's probably a more notable one, though I don't have strong memories of any strong Casey memories from Good Will Hunting.
Double burger? Chuck, I had a double burger.
Would you shut the fuck up? I know what you ordered. I was there.
So give me that fucking sandwich.
You mean your sandwich? I bought it. Morgan, how much money you got on you?
I said I could change when I get the snow cone. I said that before when we pulled up. Why don't you just give me my sandwich and stop being a prick?
I don't even remember him in that.
Again, Casey Affleck's in that movie?
Yeah, okay, so we got to keep going. So he had a small part in the movie 200 Cigarettes. He was in American Pie as an uncredited role, but then he reprised in 2001 with a credited role, and his character got a name, Tom Myers. So he does make a triumphant return there. A couple other random little comedies. He was in Hamlet. Interesting crossover for The Birthday Girl. Hamlet starring Ethan Hawke. Casey Affleck is also there. This is the 2000 Hamlet. It's like the modern day. I think it's set in New York or something like that. They use all the old Hamlet dialogue, but it's modern time, so it's kind of anachronistic in that way.
Okay, not the Kenneth Branagh one.
Not the Kenneth Branagh one. No, this was Michael Almereyda. And it's got a very, it's 2000, but it's got a very like late 90s modern city kind of cyber look to it. But they use Shakespeare dialogue. Wait a second. Oh, my God. I'm pretty sure Katie's seen this movie. I'm just discovering this live on the air here. This Hamlet movie has Ethan Hawke, Casey Affleck, and Kyle MacLachlan, my wife's third favorite actor. So how this is not her favorite movie, I have no idea. Kyle MacLachlan, Ethan Hawke, Casey Affleck are all in the 2000 adaptation of Hamlet. So you got the trifecta right there. That's a dude. Have you guys seen this Hamlet, this version of Hamlet?
I saw it, but it was close to when it came out. So I remember liking it, but that was so long ago that now having this information, the MacLachlan, Hawke, Affleck sort of triangle here. I mean, you're pretty much, you just need to buy this film for Katie, right? I mean, this is a direct gift. I mean, this cannot be ignored. This can't be just something we talk about on air. I mean, this has to be acted upon. She needs to see this film. Katie, see this movie.
Right.
Yeah, this is a Blu-ray purchase for sure.
Get something on Baby Blue. Put it up on the HD on the Apple TV. Crank the volume.
A gold-plated Blu-ray.
We're going to see it. Yeah, we're going to see Casey Affleck's pores up close. How big is your TV?
It's pretty big. I think we can we can manage there. But it could also be a nomination to be like, you know, download it to your phone. Like, always have it with you. Like, if you need to, if you're, you know, at the DMV, you know, have it downloaded. You can press play. You can get a little Hamlet action. I mean, this could be something that you never want to be apart from.
Of course, the big question would be, do they all three appear on screen at any point in the film?
We may have to report back. I mean, maybe birthday 2017, we do a full Hamlet episode, and that's and that's our follow up, perhaps. But let's keep going. We got a lot more to dig into. 2001, I think, is a big year for Casey, not because of the movie Soul Survivors, which is a horror movie starring Eliza Dushku and Wes Bentley. That was pretty terrible. I saw that when it came out. I consumed basically any horror movie in the early 2000s. That movie was a hunk of shit for sure. But 2001, I think this is, for me, maybe a lot of people don't remember him, but I think his big coming out party is as the character Virgil Malloy in Ocean's 11, the Steven Soderbergh film. And then obviously he reprises as that character for Ocean's 12 and 13. He's of the 11 in Ocean's 11. I think he's one of the minor ones, you know, way down towards the bottom. But I think he steals a couple of scenes. He's got some moments. He has some comedic chops. And I instantly remember him in those Ocean's 11 scenes for sure. Do you guys remember him from the Ocean's trilogy?
I've only seen the first one.
What?
Come
on.
I thought it was all right. It was at the time that it came out, so I don't know. Are you a fan, Jericho?
I'm kind of out on those movies. I saw the first two, but I didn't see the third one.
My God, you guys are killing me.
Not a big fan of Ocean's 11 or 12. I do remember Affleck in there, and he's fine.
I mean, it's Soderbergh, right? I mean, so it's not completely terrible, but...
No, it's not terrible, but yeah. I'm not a huge fan, so...
So I don't usually get into these types of arguments, but I mean, this is a very, I guess I am a father, but this is a very dad argument to make. Ocean's 11, Steven Soderbergh, Ocean's 11 is one of those, anytime it's on TV, you stop what you're doing and you finish watching it. I'd say that's one of those movies for me for sure. Ocean's 12, not as memorable. Ocean's 13, I'm skipping ahead now just because we got to get this Ocean's trilogy out of the way. And that was 2007, also an important year, I think, for Casey. Ocean's 13, Casey actually steps up huge. He has a whole subplot where he is in Mexico, and he's, like, starting a political coup/revolution with these underpaid workers who make casino equipment, like dice and chips and stuff like that. He goes down there, like, undercover as part of their heist scheme type thing, but then he ends up getting involved in this political entanglement. Probably the most interesting thing that happens in Ocean's 13, and it's actually a decent movie. You guys should absolutely see that. But Casey shines in Ocean's 13.
So, okay.
Okay, all right, fine. Not convinced. All right, whatever. Just check under your Flixmas tree this year. That's all I have to say. Let's keep going. 2002, we have a movie called Jerry, another Gus Van Sant joint, and then a re-teaming with his pal Matt Damon. I'm a big fan of Jerry. You guys remember Jerry? Affleck and Matt Damon, they go out into the woods, they get lost, and they basically just kind of argue and go through some existential crises over the course of like less than 90 minutes, I think. And it's got this weird dialogue. They wrote all the dialogue themselves, and they keep using the word Jerry in like all these different like a Swiss Army word. Like, I got a Jerry over up on top of that rock, and we're out of Jerry's, so I don't know what we're going to do. Like, they just keep putting that word in weird places. But and for those of you who aren't familiar, Jerry is G-E-R-R-Y is the name of that movie. But I think that's maybe a little minor gem. You guys have memories of Jerry?
It's a cue of shame, Van Sant for me.
Okay.
I've seen this one.
No, I like this film. This is actually an interesting period, not to get off on Gus Van Sant, but I think within this, I considered like unofficial trilogy, he also did Elephant and Last Days, although I think those came afterwards. But he's in a certain mode here where that I really like, and I like Jerry quite a bit. I mean, it was one of those movies that infuriated a lot of people because it's essentially just Matt Damon and Casey Affleck wandering for like 90 minutes arguing. And the whole quote unquote nothing happens adage could be lobbied at this film, but it definitely has a certain something, a certain atmosphere that I really like. And those two performances, Damon and Affleck, are pretty good. So yeah, I'm a fan.
So then a couple years later, in 2005, we get probably the first lead performance from Casey Affleck, and it's a blind spot for me. I don't know if this is cue or shame, because I don't know if it's any good or not. He was in a movie called Lonesome Jim. It's directed by Steve Buscemi, believe it or not. I'm pretty much unfamiliar with this. Have either of you seen Lonesome Jim?
I've seen it. I like
that's
this one.
It's Liv Tyler.
Liv Tyler. Yeah. Correct.
I saw it long, like back when it came out, but I have fond memories of it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very much in the understated slice of life kind of thing that Buscemi can kind of do with things like
Trees Lounge.
Mm-hmm. Well, In the Soup's a little weirder, but yeah, this one's good. And I remember this is kind of the first film where I saw a lot of Affleck, Casey Affleck. And as you said, this is probably his first official lead role. And I thought he was really good on this one. I think you should watch this one, Christian.
Okay, I'll put that on the queue. I'm sure Katie's noting that now. So 2007, I think, is probably the banner year for Casey. We've got two heavy hitters, Gone Baby Gone, starring role in Brother Ben's directorial debut, right? That's the Ben Affleck's first directorial effort. Casey stars, and then he also has a supporting role in The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford, and he plays the latter titular character there, Robert Ford. I think he's pretty fantastic in both of those movies. Jesse James is definitely the stronger of the two, but this is when, I mean, if you're into movies at all, you can no longer ignore Casey Affleck by any stretch of the imagination. So I think a big double whammy of a year, Gone Baby Gone, Assassination of Jesse James for Casey.
Yeah, I think I don't know if this is unfortunate or fortunate. I really believe that his work in those films was kind of overshadowed by other elements. For instance, Gone Baby Gone was directed by Ben Affleck. So a lot of the attention shifted onto, oh, who knew? Ben Affleck is a good director. No one really talked about Casey Affleck's performance, which is probably the best thing about that film because I have problems with that movie. But in terms of Jesse James, Casey Affleck gives a very nuanced, understated performance. But then Brad Pitt is in that film, and most people were talking about how great Brad Pitt was, and also the direction by Andrew Dominik, which is pretty great. I mean, I feel like that movie, that's a great film. Whereas Gone Baby Gone, I have, you know, I think I'm kind of more mixed on that, but I'm not mixed on Affleck in both of those. I think he's great in both. I think definitely Jesse James, he leaves the most impact for me. I think it's a haunting performance. Pitt is also good in that film, but Affleck definitely carries it along with the direction. So
yeah, Pitt's the name brand, and that Jesse James is also a little bit more of an ensemble, and it's got a strong. You also have like Sam Rockwell, yep. Sam Shepard, Jeremy Renner. You got a lot of other people stealing scenes and lines and things like that. But there's a lot of to like. I mean, I think Jesse James is a legitimately great movie, but I think Casey Affleck stands above all on the acting front for that one. Armando, thoughts on Jesse James or Gone Baby Gone?
So I've seen Gone Baby Gone, which I I saw it at the time. I remember thinking it was slightly overrated. I didn't love it. Casey Affleck, I think, impressed in it. But I didn't know that you guys thought that Jesse James was a great film. I haven't seen that one, but now
what?
I'm very, very intrigued. I know it had a good reputation, but I've never heard you guys talk about that one.
I'm legitimately shocked. No, it's fantastic. It was easily one of the best movies of that year, for sure. Like, it's a must-see.
Yeah, I will get on that as well as Jerry.
All right.
The Flixation presents are piling up for Armando. We're hitting some different things here that could come into play later.
Yeah, Flixmas is coming, and I think Armando could be getting Casey for Flixmas, and who could complain with that?
Everybody wins.
So after that banner year, Casey takes a couple years off of releasing anything. 2010 rolls along, and he makes some interesting choices. I don't know. I think Jericho's definitely right. Even though it was his banner year and kind of a coming out party, there was a lot of other things kind of overshadowing him, which is kind of the story of Casey Affleck overall, so it's not too surprising. But he doesn't ride any of that success into a bunch of crazy mainstream stuff or anything like that. Instead, in 2010, he directs, for the first time, a movie called I'm Still Here, which was about Joaquin Phoenix's music career in hip hop and things like that. Ostensibly, I mean, what is it really about? Who knows? But that was a part of that, I guess it was, what, 2009 to 2010, Joaquin Phoenix quit acting to pursue music, and he had all those crazy interviews, and people weren't sure if he had kind of a full kind of mental breakdown, and then afterwards it ended up being kind of a performance art type thing. Everything was on purpose, and really interesting movie. So he directed that. There's something else in 2010, but let's go ahead and stop here for a minute. I'm Still Here. I'm sure you guys have thoughts on that one.
I loved I'm Still Here. It was one of my favorite movies of that year, and I think I was I wasn't as internet savvy. No, not that I'm internet savvy now, but, back then, I think I bought a hook, line, and sinker, and I was just, like a lot of other people, just completely sucked in. What is going on? This guy's going to the deep end. This is out there. And, in the lead up, and then when I watched the film and I saw it in the theaters, I think, and I remember the experience too, a lot of people were super uncomfortable in the audience. I loved it. I thought it was hilarious, and I think it's fun to go back and watch because they're performances within the performance, and there's a few scenes where Casey Affleck is on camera, right? They're kind of discussing things. Is he in the movie at all? He's in a couple scenes.
He definitely is.
He's in a couple scenes, and going back with the knowledge of watching it, you can see him. They're having a lot of fun, guys. And, I think it's a terrific, piece of art, and he helped direct it. I mean, he directed it. So, this is his high water mark for me. I've yet to see Jesse James. So, I'll put that on hold, but, I think Jericho is a big fan of this film too.
Yeah.
So,
maybe not. It wasn't in the favorites of the year category for me, but I definitely liked it. And it definitely was in on the whole performance art thing. I'm definitely in on the whole mocking of celebrity culture, everything that Joaquin and Affleck were up to here. I think it would still hold up. I haven't seen it in quite a while. I don't think I ever rewatched it. I'm trying to remember, but I think I just saw it once in the theater, and yeah, but the main thing that comes to mind is just it was funny. I thought it was pretty hilarious. So kind of a Andy Kaufman-esque performance art thing. And kudos to Affleck for, tagging along with crazy man Joaquin Phoenix and filming all his antics.
And he had to been in on the creative process coming up with the different, hoax elements. We're going to make this performance. We're going to show up at this club, I'm sure he came up with the idea.
And maybe it didn't hit as much with the mainstream because we had already seen something like Borat, which is similar, but I think even Borat, as uncomfortable as that movie is, does play to a larger audience. This thing was more insular. It was like an inside joke between Affleck and Joaquin Phoenix. It wasn't skewering other things that a lot of people could understand. So it had a very insular audience. It was only meant for like a very small group of people, whereas something like Borat, lots of people can find that either funny or outrageous or offensive. Yeah. And it's like this movie, and I'm still here, it's like, who are they offending? What's the joke? A lot of people just didn't get it. So, but definitely.
They took it pretty far, though. I mean, they did take it like Letterman and all these kind of,
So I wasn't peppering in the factoids. Let's just go ahead and do a big dump of factoids real quick before we get to the rest of 2010 for Casey.
Snowden ask info dump.
Info
here.
Dump. Yeah. So first of all, Casey is a vegan. Around the times as his career was taking off, he was vocal in interviews about shitting on the movies that he didn't think were any good, including Soul Survivors, which I also shit on. He admitted that he was not proud of being in those movies. Lots of links, familial links. One of them that I'll point out, Casey and Ben have both shared on-screen romances with Liv Tyler because of Lonesome Jim and Armageddon. So a couple of Liv Tyler crossovers there. And these are things that will fit along with this birthday present. Casey Affleck is fluent in Spanish, as is my wife. And sadly, for most people, except maybe the woman I live with, Casey has separated from his wife, Summer Phoenix, earlier this year in 2016. So he's on the market.
Oh, no. They've been around a while. Well, I wonder if that's going to affect the friendship, because they're not just brother-in-law. It seems like him and Joaquin, they seem to be good friends, you know?
Yeah,
working on projects together, and you know they got that artistic connection. And then they kind of have a bond where they both had brothers that they were kind of in the shadows of. Joaquin obviously had River Phoenix, him with Ben Affleck. But that's a bummer to hear. I hope that has not affected their friendship.
I can't imagine that it has. They seemed pretty tight, not just because of the marital relation, but
did he cheat on Summer Phoenix is what we're all wondering. If so, Joaquin's going to be pissed.
there's nothing to say there. No rumors substantiated or otherwise about extramarital relations, though knowing that Casey is currently single makes me probably a little relieved that Katie wasn't able to make it to Telluride this year, where Casey was just by himself roaming the mountains.
Mm.
Who knows what could have happened?
Some trust issues coming out on this show here.
No trust issues. I'm just saying.
You're saying if Katie and Casey are in the same space geographically,
yes,
anything could happen.
I'm all absolutely off, saying that.
She's going to hide the ring. She's going to get on the gondola.
That's not a lack of trust. I'm saying I know that will happen.
What you're saying is she's powerless to withstand the grandeur.
This is not a robbing of agency. I'm saying Katie, my wife, a woman who has her own will and able to make her own choices, while near Casey Affleck, she will make choices.
She will choose.
Well, approaching Brie Larson is one thing.
Right.
Spotting Casey Affleck, across the snack counter, I don't know. Can we say that would, you know, there wouldn't be some stage fright there?
Hard to say. We'll get that in the follow-up episode. Let's keep going. 2010, aside from his directorial debut, also, like I said, you know, he took a big departure from Gone Baby Gone and the Jesse James year, and did two controversial projects, I'm Still Here, and then he starred in a movie called The Killer Inside Me, as Jarek already mentioned, bashing Jessica Alba's face in. I believe also abusing Kate Hudson in that film. So he's a murderer, unhinged, very abusive. This film was not very well received, if I remember correctly, because it was pretty tough to get through watching Casey Affleck just abuse women on screen. Though, I don't know. I think this is one of, if not my wife's favorite Casey Affleck movie. So she was a huge fan of Killer Inside Me. So all that darkness didn't scare her away. What about you guys? Were you fans of The Killer Inside Me?
Didn't see this one.
Armando.
Got to get in on the Affleck misogyny here. I actually did like this film. I don't know if, how it would play on a rewatch. I don't know if I would be more, I don't know, put off by the rampant misogyny, the continuous beatings, the violence. It's pretty gross, tough stuff, but as I remember, but I think I was, I don't know what it was, but there was something about it that it almost like beat you into submission as a audience member until you kind of come around and you're almost like you're in a daze to the point where you're respecting the film for going there, for going as far as it does.
Did Alba impress?
Alba, well, she spent most of the running time getting the shit kicked out of her. So I guess on that level, she was convincing. But it really is Affleck's show, and he's one twisted motherfucker in this thing. So if you're into sadomasochism, if you're into, I don't know what this says about Katie, but she likes the darkness. She likes the bad boy. Katie digs the bad boy. Okay, so it's definitely an interesting movie, a polarizing movie, and not too many, you know, actors, well-known actors would probably take a role like this. So
is he one note here, though? Is he
nah,
one?
I don't think so. I think he
is he just an out-and-out monster here?
Hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Like,
no, definitely
how good
not.
Is his performance?
No, it's pretty easily. I mean, having a spoiler alert for the end of this conversation, but it's Manchester by the Sea, it's Jesse James, and it's A Killer Inside Me. That's the top Casey performances. I think those are pretty much a lock. I think it'd be hard to argue that.
Hand tipped on Manchester here.
Indeed. Some of these we can move over pretty quickly. In 2011, he was in the Ben Stiller movie Tower Heist. Let's just not say anything more about that. He was.
Is that another one you shit on?
unconfirmed.
I think this is one I scrolled through. I maybe saw chunks of just, you know, channel surfing. So I don't know. And no thoughts on Tower Heist?
Christian wants to move on.
Okay.
And then in 2012, he was a voice actor in Paranorman, the Laika film, which is great. I don't remember his character too well, but it's been a while since I've seen that one. In 2013, he had a double feature, Out of the Furnace with Christian Bale and Ain't Them Body Saints with Rooney Mara. I think here, neither are great films, but I think Casey continuing to put in some good workmanlike efforts and proves to be someone capable of holding the screen, even if he's not in the best movies. Any thoughts on either of those two?
Didn't see Out of the Furnace, didn't like Ain't Them Body Saints. And I honestly don't really remember Casey Affleck's performance, or Rooney Mara for that matter. That movie just wafted right by, not very memorable. Out of the Furnace I wanted to see, but for some reason never got to. Although that director is not doing it for me, man. He did Johnny Depp gangster film
Black
that
Mass.
We ripped into.
Yikes.
It's
He did the Jeff Bridges musical country movie, which was like
Crazy
okay.
Heart.
But yeah.
I liked Crazy Heart okay.
Yeah. I don't think there's any of those that really jump out, but Out of the Furnace is a solid movie.
Wow.
Okay. And then he has a small part in 2014 for Christopher Nolan's Interstellar. That's a big ensemble, and he's one of the smaller parts. And I think there's even some jokes about some of the characters being forgotten in order for Matthew McConaughey to only think about his daughter. So I don't think much of an impression is left there for that one specifically. Am I right?
I mean, I don't know if it's the writing or can we actually say that he's kind of bad in that movie or is it just...
I mean, not on this episode. I mean, that would be...
Is it just the character? It's a horribly written character.
What is he doing in that movie?
He's just brooding about his farm. He's like sets fire to the crops or something. He's...
Oh, I remember us. I kind of vaguely remember us. See, I can't even remember him in this movie.
Well, we all pretty much loved the movie.
Yeah, like, I really
liked. But he was like he was like one of the weaker links.
He's just kind of the wet blanket, right? I mean, in this film.
It's not your fault, Casey. It's not your fault. The material was subpar, but not the best Affleck, I would say. Not the best.
So that brings us to 2016, this current year. another banner year for Mr. Affleck. Not the best movies to start off. He was in the Disney movie Finest Hours with Chris Pine, the boat movie. Haven't seen it, so I can't report anything there. He was in the movie Triple Nine, which was the John Hillcoat movie. It's kind of a cop and criminal heist movie. I think, like the other ones that I mentioned, even when he's not in the best movies, he turns in those very watchable performances. Have you guys seen? I know you guys haven't seen Finest Hours. Any Triple Nine screenings for either of you?
Skip that one.
All right, but we do end on a high note. You guys haven't seen it yet, but after Telluride that just happened, my favorite film up there was Manchester by the Sea, my favorite film of Telluride, and my favorite performance out of all 15 movies I saw up there. My favorite performance was from Casey Affleck and Kenneth Lonergan's Manchester by the Sea. So that comes out, I believe, in November, and it's fantastic. And might quite possibly be Casey Affleck's best work to date, and I think he's done a few great things already. So that's saying something, I think. So that kind of closes us out. So any kind of wrap up thoughts, or are you guys looking forward to Manchester by the Sea?
Somewhere Ryan Gosling is very, very upset with what Christian just said about Telluride.
I think Ryan Gosling will be fine.
But I hope so.
I'm not choked up or anything. Yeah, that's definitely a movie I'm looking forward to. Mostly because of the director. Obviously Affleck. I'm in for Affleck. I'm not anti-Affleck. I like Affleck, but the director here did a film a couple years ago that I loved called Margaret. And had a movie in the early 2000s, You Can Count on Me, with Mark Ruffalo, which is also very good. So that gets me in the door, because the trailer is selling this thing, selling it very sentimental. I'm not feeling the trailer, but what do trailers know? Christian, you've seen it. It's a great film. Casey Affleck is great. The director is great. We're going all the way with this one.
Yep. So we'll circle back around to that for November 18th. And I said we'd revisit a question I had at the beginning, though I guess we can't really answer that, because my main point is that Manchester by the Sea kind of puts him in another echelon, and maybe we shouldn't be referring to him as the other Affleck any longer. But I guess we'll have to wait till November 18th, until we've all seen Manchester by the Sea, to answer that question. But overall, quite the career, quite the life, quite the man. Quite the looks, quite the voice. So definitely someone who is worth admiring, and I know people who do. I think that's going to wrap us up. So if anyone else, if we have a larger audience than one for this episode, thanks for going on this journey with us. Gentlemen, thank you for talking some Casey with me this evening.
Casey. Start the chant, Armando. Casey.
Casey at the bat.
Happy birthday, Katie.
Yeah, so Casey on the dock is a lock, as you can see in all of those stills for Manchester by the Sea. So hold on to those images until you can get to that movie. May the Casey Affleck always be with you. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to this episode of the Third Act Podcast. Happy birthday and good night.
When I say on my own, I mean you and me. I always mean you and me.